This is the United Nations.
13th of February 1946. The United Nations begins broadcasting vital messages to the world via UN radio. Now, as the world continues to face multiple and long-lasting threats and challenges, our thoughts turn to the need for resilience in our communication systems.
Kutoka New York, Sauti ya Umoja wa Mataifa inawaletea jarida la Umoja wa Mataifa.
Today, UNESCO and ITU are celebrating World Radio Day. This year's celebration marks over 110 years of radio. The day also celebrates the unique power of radio to touch lives and bring people together, even amid crises, disasters, and emergencies.
That was Mario Manovich, Director of ITU's Radio Communication Bureau. And I'm Max Jacobson-Gonzalez of ITU, the United Nations Specialized Agency for Information and Communication Technologies. Welcome to the latest episode in our podcast series, Technology for Good.
Radio has been declared dead many, many times. What we have seen in the past years, but especially during the pandemic, is that radio is the most resilient backbone of information in a country.
I think that radio is more alive than ever because radio plays a very crucial role in people's lives all over the world.
Resilience is about being able to overcome the unexpected. Information allows you to come up with a plan, and radio has got you covered.
Throughout our 156-year history, ITU has played a crucial role in advancing radio by establishing and updating international regulations on the use of radio frequency spectrum and satellite orbits. Whereas yesterday's radio was simply a transistor on our kitchen table, nowadays the radio is a standard accessory in our cars and embedded in our smartphones. And new technologies promise to make radio an enduring, innovative form of media accessible everywhere and to everyone.
How can technology help us face dramatic shifts in how we live our lives? Next to the latest technological advances, radio could seem an antiquated medium. But as a growing $40 billion US dollar industry, and when 90% of North Americans listen to the radio every week, radio is far from being left behind. As we commemorate World Radio Day, let's look into how radio continues to innovate, connect, and evolve in our rapidly changing world. Emma Rodero is a senior lecturer and director of the Media Psychology Lab at the Universitat Pompeu Fabric in Barcelona. She speaks to us about her recent study on the listening habits, consumption, credibility, and psychological impact of radio in Spain during the COVID-19 lockdown.
Listeners had a very positive impression of the role that radio is playing during the crisis. Listeners in general are consuming more radio because the demand of information grows. For example, before crisis, people were listening to the radio for an average of 30 minutes to 1 hour. And during the lockdown, radio consumption has increased and most people were listening to the radio for 1 or 2 hours. So it was an important increase. But this increase is registered all over the world. The psychological impact of radio is, for me, one of the main conclusions of the study. There are many people reporting that they feel very bad, especially sad. They are feeling fear and they are anguish. And in this case, radio is playing a very, very important role. They perceive that it's the closest medium, the more intimate, the more personal. And all this feeling is very important in this situation. So when you are feeling these intense and negative emotions, radio is there. And another thing that is important, they reported that they relieve my loneliness and makes me feel happy and reduces my anxiety. When you listen to a voice on radio, you feel that you are not alone. So this is called intimacy illusion. You connect. emotionally connect to this voice on radio, and you feel that it's your friend, it's very familiar for you, and that's why you don't feel alone. And this is the power of radio, that it has a very important and very strong psychological impact. As you know, now many young people are not listening to the radio in the traditional way with the old device, but people are listening to the radio on the phone, but especially smart speakers. So our next study, or we are studying now, how people process audio and radio, in this case, listening to radio through smart speakers.
Despite the global move towards modernization, there are parts of the radio enthusiast world that have not let go of the original form. Amateur radio, or otherwise known by the acronym HAM radio, is alive and well. We spoke with Lisa Lenders, a member of the International Amateur Radio Union in the Netherlands and the first chair of the Youth Working Group of the Amateur Radio Society, about her experiences with this 100-year-old hobby.
My amateur radio call sign is Papa Alpha 2 Lima Sierra. Many people are even not aware that amateur radio, what it contains or what it does. It's a combination of a technical aspect and also a social aspect. It's making a radio contact or building your own equipment, but you are also working on this together with other people with the same interest. So it's really the combination of the technical and the social aspect which makes amateur radio great. So over all these years that I'm active in amateur radio, I made already many contacts. I started when I was just young, 13 years. And maybe the most memorable contact is the first contact you make. But I still remember it like the day as yesterday. It was actually with my father, who was also a radio amateur. So that was really a great moment for both of us. It's magical to see that with the radio and an antenna, which can be a wire, for example, you can make radio contacts from people.
Oscar November 7, Henry Mike.
So how do you do amateur radio? How do you make contacts? You switch on your radio, which is connected to an antenna, and then you search for the right frequency. There are several set frequencies which is allowed as amateur radio to come. You need to be licensed. And basically what we say is CQ, which means I'm available for a call. And then you can wait for a reply, and it's always a surprise who is coming back at that moment. Nowadays, almost everyone has a cell phone or is using different kind of media to connect to each other. If this doesn't work anymore, for example, in a disaster or emergency situation, amateur radio still does work. We can still connect our radios and antennas and connect to the other side of the world, which is a very important aspect we should not forget.
Roy Head is CEO of Development Media International, or DMI for short, a non-governmental organisation that conducts health campaigns largely in Africa and are also known for undertaking data-based evaluations to measure the impact of these mass media-based campaigns.
The reason we gather data is that the onus is on us. We don't produce hospitals or drugs or doctors. These are things that we know save lives and make a real difference. We produce radio programs, television programs, things that go out into the air and then disappear. And so we have a greater responsibility than most to actually prove that our work works. And so we measure things like, you know, how many people have been treated for malaria, how many people have been treated for pneumonia, for diarrhea, and we compare that to areas where we haven't been campaigning to work out, you know, have we actually made a difference or not? And that way we can work out how many lives we've saved.
Sana yilinti Burkina Faso kompala fangil kapitilri.
There was one example what we had in Burkina Faso where a man had a daughter and she got malaria and she went into a coma, and he heard that this is because she'd fallen asleep when a particular bird was flying overhead. And so he tried to give her these traditional treatments. She didn't recover. She was getting dangerously ill. And then he heard the radio, and the radio said, look, these are the symptoms of malaria. If your child's got this, take him to a health center straight away. And she did. And then she survived. And it was, you know, it's a lovely little story. And we came across this man and we filmed him. And it just was an anecdote that gives you an insight into the power of information, because people are hugely motivated to save their children's lives. And it seems not only a human right that they should have this information, but it's also a very cost-effective way of saving lives.
UNESCO figures state that in Africa, between 80 and 90% of households have access to a working radio set. For Development Media International, when the current health crisis came to the fore, radio was an obvious choice for sharing important messages. But the strength of its impact was a surprise, even to them.
When COVID hit, we were terrified that there was going to be a major epidemic in Africa. And we started broadcasting on radio and television and using mobile phones as well in 9 countries. We weren't able to do a huge amount of research because travel restrictions were all over the place. But what we did find out from Burkina Faso is that well over 80% of people relied on radio as their primary source of information. And that compares to roughly 4% for friends and 3% for the health centre or health officials. So that's a huge responsibility, and we were very surprised by that. We thought that word of mouth would be at least as important, but it wasn't. It's still true that in Africa, radio is far and away the most powerful way of reaching people. Our experience has been that radio can save lives on a massive scale. The radio campaign we did in Burkina Faso saved 3,000 lives. Its potential for saving lives, conveying the right health information, is enormous. Eri Melinda Timba is the Tanzania program manager of Farm Radio, an NGO working across Africa to improve the lives of farmers through sharing relevant and timely information. Eri Melinda speaks to us about the many innovations Farm Radio employs to create interactivity between the radio stations they work with and their listeners.
Using a radio can reach thousands of people because it's popular. But again, it could be very interactive, especially in the growing digital world. Now it's no longer that world of one broadcaster speaking through the radio, but there could be interactions whenever incorporating some mobile platforms. In Tanzania, for example, we have worked with more than 50 radio stations, local community radio stations, regional radio stations, and national radio stations. So one unique feature about Farm Radio and why it's just not radio program, it's how we incorporate two most famous means of communication, that is radio and mobile platforms, to produce interactive radio programs. So when we want to know what do people think about this topic, what do they know, what don't they know, we just keep a question online and ask them to beep and participate. So before a program, a broadcaster will go and listen to the interaction, and then they are able to know, okay, there's this gap in this area, and then an expert will be able to address this during the radio program. But we also have something called Her Voice on Air. This is a particular approach by Farm Radio to engage women, just to make sure we increase women's access to information and programming. But again, we have a very interesting approach called Beep for Weather. A farmer will just beep and then they will receive the weather information. When Tanzania Meteorological Agency disseminates this weather forecast information, then we take this information and we translate it, because ideally a farmer only does not need to know there will be minimal rain. They need to know, what do I do when there's minimal rain? So when we have received this information from Tanzania Meteorological Agency that says there'll be minimal rain, we will have an extension officer says, yes, there'll be a minimal rain. Therefore, maybe do not plant your seeds immediately. So when this is translated, then it's in voice form. The farmers will just be able to beep this number and hear the forecast and the advice.
Eri In the last year alone, farm radio has reached an estimated 13 million people across rural Africa with life-changing information and helped 2.7 million of them make a positive change in their lives.
I remember one of the community group leaders sent me a picture of their maize. She's standing in her farm and showed me how successful she feels now that she knows what will happen in terms of weather and climate. And now she succeeded. She planted on time. She did the weeding and pest issues on time. She did everything on time because she could listen and hear about the weather forecast and all of the translations. Digital is where the market is moving, and actually that is what the farmer are craving for. If the radio stations will be able to continue using different digital solutions, this will definitely help in improving customers' choices, but also enhancing interactivity as opposed to the just common way of one-way broadcasting.
Eri Melinda Timber for Farm Radio in Tanzania is encouraging us all to look at a digital future for radio. Today, a variety of innovative satellite technologies present the new frontier to expand the reach of radio, especially to people in rural and remote areas. Digital Radio Mondiale, or DRM, is a set of digital audio broadcasting technologies designed to work over the frequency bands currently used for analog radio broadcasting, including AM broadcasting, shortwave, and FM broadcasting. Ruxandra Obrecha is chair of the DRM Consortium.
Digital radio has to present extra benefits to analog. Otherwise, there is no point in digitization. There is a lot of talk about broadband and about 5G, if not 6G. Now, radio comes from a different tradition. It has a legacy of about 100 years. It started as analog, which means a sort of sound that goes from A to B to C to D. And sometime, about 40 years ago, people thought, well, that uses a lot of spectrum and some of the sound is not very good. Digital Radio Mondiale is the newest standard. It covers all the frequency bands. The big benefits for listeners, their access to data, to multimedia, to RSS feeds, to education and emergency warning. The good thing is that a digital receiver will be able to receive analog, but it doesn't go the other way around. It's a bit like saying, I have a black and white television, can I now get a color television? The broadcaster also benefits because in digital transmission, unlike analog, the broadcaster saves a lot of electric energy, and that's very important. That's a huge cost. From a regulatory point of view, administration, governments, a spectrum is a resource. So one benefit is that basically you use the same spectrum you've been allocated or you have right to, but you can open it to more stations because audio being compressed, it means that on the same frequency where you have one studio, one antenna, one transmitter, and one single program, in DRM you can have up to three audio programs and a data channel. The data capability of digital radio makes information in written form, picture form, available on the screen of the radio. If you are listening on your mobile, then, and you are connected, your answer will go from your mobile straight to the radio station. So there are many other interactivity possibilities which digital radio opens up to broadcasters.
The invention of radio 100 years ago was a huge step for mankind. The biggest innovation in radio is often said to be the introduction of FM. Now, digital is the latest in innovations. But as with change in a medium so ubiquitous throughout the world, the shift from analog to digital will be a challenge and made up of incremental changes.
When everything else fails, when the cell phone towers are down, when television towers don't work, emergencies of any kind, radio is always there. If anything, radio has proven its resilience in 2020 and now in 2021 more than anything. So we have to protect radio. We have to push radio towards its digital future. Universal coverage, access, protection can be ensured by radio fundamentally. Radio might be the first medium in some African countries, might be a plan B or even C in a developed country, but radio has to be there. And in order to fulfill all these tasks, it has to go to the digital world. So let's maximize what we have rather than abandon. Radio is the local medium, your best friend, your doctor, your teacher, your politician. It's that friend in your ear, and that is something that no other platform can replace.
Sometimes the simplest inventions are the ones that stand the test of time. Radio is a resilient medium, and as we've heard, it has many implications, from mass media to mass remote education, and especially good at reaching places otherwise unconnected. It is accessible to amateur enthusiasts and is still the site of new innovations. Now for some final thoughts from our guests. First, Erimelinda Tima, Programs Manager for Farm Radio in Tanzania.
On this day, as we think of World Radio Day, let it not just be an ordinary way. Let's think innovatively. Let's think more digital. I've worked around the digital innovations. I've seen it work. When you do interactive radio, you engage people. I would urge everybody in the radio space, think digital, think innovatively, and that's how we make the radio remain relevant for more years to come.
Here's Ruxandra Brecha, DRM Consortium Chair of Digital Radio Mondial.
About 12 years ago, people were saying, that's it, we are going online, streaming is the new radio, and terrestrial radio is dead. Radio is here to stay. I do not think there is an easier, cheaper form of reaching so many people over such wide areas as radio.
Here's Emma Rodero, Senior Lecturer and Director of the Media Psychology Lab at Universitat Pompeu Fabric in Barcelona.
Radio is simplicity. This technical simplicity allows that radio can keep transmitting in adverse situations. So many times in disasters, you don't have light, you don't have anything, but radio is the medium that can keep transmitting in many cases. So radio is close to people. It's immediate because of this simplicity, this technical simplicity.
Roy Head, CEO of Development Media International.
Mobile phones are important, new technologies are important, but it's got to the situation where you almost can't fill out a grant application without talking about mobile phones. And yet the fact remains that radio, certainly in Africa, is far and away the most important medium of communication, and that somewhere between 40% of all people and 90% of all people over that continent are listening to radio on a regular basis. And so while we are continuing to develop new ways of using mobile phones and television is becoming increasingly important, radio is still number one for the moment.
And finally, here's Mario Manovic, Director of the ITU Radio Communication Bureau.
At ITU, we will continue to serve as a steward of global airways, ensuring we can connect to one another safely and innovatively for centuries to come.
We'd love to hear from you about the subjects you'd like us to explore and what you think about the discussions on each topic we cover. So write to us at podcasts@itu.int and visit our website at www.itu.int. We look forward to continuing to explore the technology that plays an intrinsic part of our everyday lives and discovering which technological developments can be utilized for good on the road to connectivity for all. If you've enjoyed listening to this program, don't forget to subscribe to ITU Podcasts. You can find us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more, as we try to dig ever deeper into how technology can truly serve the greater good. For Technology for Good and ITU, I'm Max Jacobson-Gonzalez. Technology for Good, an ITU digital production.